The Old Testament reading is from Ezekiel chapter 17. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one. And I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, and I make high the low tree, dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. After King David had defeated his enemies and brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, he called the prophet Nathan and said, "See, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the Ark of God dwells in a tent. David had in mind to build a home for God, not unlike St. Peter, who in his confusion tried to build a home for Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Clearly, it was a noble ambition. After all, the promise of God still spoke clearly from the scriptures. I will dwell among my people, and I will be their God. The basic mistake, however, is thinking that something constructed by human hands can serve as the dwelling place of God. So God told David not to build him a house. Would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I rescued you from Egypt. Have I ever asked you for a house? Well, in short, no. No, God said, I will build for you a house. And God gave David a tremendous promise. I will raise up for your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish it forever. The Father was talking about Jesus, his son, who is also a son of David, who would build a house for God, a temple, but not the kind made with human hands. He would be the temple himself, the eternal presence of God among his people. Now, as you know, King Solomon, another son of David, also constructed a temple for God, a magnificent building made by the best craftsmen. But even as God's glory descended on this incredible edifice, Solomon knew that this wasn't exactly what God had in mind. Will God indeed dwell on the earth? Solomon asked. Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. And he begged that God would at least incline his ear to the prayers that were offered in the temple. God condescended, but only for a time, as even King Solomon could not remain faithful. Perhaps one of the first signs should have been that Solomon's own house, his palace, was five times as large as the temple he built for God. But the people of Israel were so enamored of Solomon's temple that they imagined that God was with them just because the buildings stood there. And so through the prophet Jeremiah came these searing words. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Why such acerbic words, you wonder? Because the people of Israel were cruel and they shed blood and went after other gods. They too had fallen victim to this basic deception that somehow the work of human hands can be eternal, that something they had constructed could be divine, and that was all that mattered. They forgot that God was bringing this world to an end. As the disciples of Jesus were marveling at the beauty of the temple, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there will be not left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." That can be a dreadful realization. The realization that nothing lasts. Not temples, not churches, not altars, much less all the other parts of our lives to which we are so dedicated. Not wealth, not success, not people. Now, if you haven't thought about it this way, just consider the actual layout of the tabernacle, or the tent of meeting, and the temple were quite similar, but there was a significant difference between the two. The tabernacle always had an impermanent quality to it. It was a tent, after all. That is the nuanced point that St. Paul makes. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, and he says, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. But Solomon's and Herod's temple was made out of stone. It easily led to this faulty conclusion. This is going to be around here forever. I've been to Jerusalem a couple of times. And do you know how much of the temple you see today? Nada. Everybody talks about the Wailing Wall, but the Wailing Wall was way outside of the temple. It's the closest you can get to it today. No, Herod's temple was not going to be around forever. It too would be destroyed, and so eventually will all the works of our hands. We should know that we could never build a home for God, or a home for ourselves that is anything more but a house of cards. But this realization, the realization that nothing lasts, that everything passes away, is not meant to make us despair. Instead, it is meant to shake us loose from setting our hearts on earthly things. As St. Paul said in our second reading, take note that everything you see is clothed in mortality, in death, and that anticipating that day when the mortal is swallowed up in life, it's meant to remind you that God has promised to build you a house. He has promised to build you an eternal home. Remembering that promise is so important because in this world of houses of cards, we cannot imagine an eternal home. You have only ever seen things that are transient, things that do not last. But the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which you cannot judge with your eyes. You cannot look at a mustard seed and discern its potential. If you dropped it in the dirt, it could be lost forever. And yet, by God's design and God's craftsmanship, the seed produces a plant which is enormous. By contrast, if you dismiss the mustard seed, because it's so unimpressive, then you will never look forward to the full-grown plant that comes from it. St. Paul reminds us that this life is as unimpressive as a mustard seed. But we're looking forward to a heavenly dwelling. What you possess right now is a seed of faith, a hope in the resurrection of Jesus, who is the grain of wheat that fell into the earth and died. What you have right now is a word of promise. And the pledge of that promise is Christ's resurrected body and blood. What you have yourself is Christ himself, Emmanuel, God with us, the Word dwelling among us, not in a house made with hands, but in our own flesh and blood. Doesn't Paul say this? Remember, you are a temple. You cannot look at your aging and dying bodies and see life and glory. You cannot look at the water in the font and see salvation. You cannot look at the bread and wine and see forgiveness of sins. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And so for us, that mustard seed is far more than meets the eye. The crucifixion of Jesus is far more than meets the eye. For us, too, in this life in which everything finally passes away, this life is far more than meets the eye. Instead, when you invest yourself in this life, living and loving in every setting that God has given to you, remember, he has given you a promise and a blessing. When you go to school or go to work, when you love your parents or your children or your spouse or your neighbor, remember that there is far more than meets the eye. Your life and your love, even now, are given to you by God. And they are aimed at eternity in every part of your life. As fleeting and as ordinary as it may seem, you have been washed by the blood of Christ, and you are doing God's work. And God's work is eternal. You who have been washed in the blood of Christ are meant for a heavenly and eternal dwelling where nothing passes away and everything is life and love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.